Paul, fitting. I want to talk about repetitive stress injuries. You know, obviously Tiger Woods, who just sent out today that he's taking some time off, and they showed the video of how different his swing was, and you know, all the mechanics maybe are off. But you know, repetitive stress injury seems a lot more prevalent now than it used to be.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. People are doing a lot more and more because I think just the competition is just greater because there's more people out there, more people doing the same kind of sport. So everybody wants to get an edge up on everybody else. So I think a lot of people think that doing more and more of the same thing will get them better results, which may be true, but you have to offset that. How much more prone to injury are you putting yourself at risk to?
Yeah, and that's the one where it's, you know, you can train and train, and obviously we've heard all the effects of overtraining, but, you know, when you're on the edge of physical greatness, the risk for injury is at its highest, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So there, you know, you have good trainers, you've got good nutritionists, that kind of thing. So I think that part of the technology has gotten really great, but still elite level athletes and even regular people are getting hurt because of them pushing to outdo the other person. So they feel like, hey, if so-and-so is doing so much, I need to do a little bit more than them so that I can get better. So, and that's the other thing you have to sort of think about is everybody has a certain genetic tolerance to repetitive stress. Like, for example, like you could have Tiger Woods hitting 1,000 balls every day for a year, and somebody else like Rory McIlroy hitting 1,000 balls every day for a year, and one gets injured, one doesn't. Maybe one's got better a genetic predisposition to the mechanics of a golf swing and not suffer the wear and tear from violently swinging a club or swinging a tennis racket or running than somebody else. So genetics plays a big role too.
Well, and I get that, you know, the term in sports is injury prone. Right. And you see guy now some it's fluke injuries like Taylor Hall, you know, somebody steps on your face in a warm up. I'm not sure that that's any disposition,
no, that's
but
not, exactly. That's more of an acute thing.
Yeah. Like there are like certain guys that like certain people's bodies, whether it's bone density or even their tendons, are more likely to be injured. Correct.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Like everybody has like sort of, you know, a genetic predisposition to doing their sport at the highest levels. They need some sort of God given talent. But how you play that sport is also very important, too. So if you're a person that takes a lot of risks and thinks that, hey, if I skate a little harder or swing the club a little harder or swing a bat a little harder or throw a pitch a little bit harder to get that edge, and you keep doing that over and over again, your body can only take so much wear and tear. Some people's bodies are more suitable for that action than others based on the mechanics of the joints, how the tendons and ligaments are attached to the bone. Maybe there's there's some advantage to the space apart or the part of the bone that they're attached to. Not everybody's ligaments and tendons are attached to the exact same spot from bone to bone. So there's a lot of factors that can vary with that. So you have to look at genetics. You have to look at how much rest are you getting, how much anxiety and stress is in your life, your nutrition, what recovery methods are you using to get yourself prepared for the next bout of activity. But the biggest thing you can do is if you stress, the more and more you stress your body, the much more important rest and recovery is for your body to adapt to that stress and then do it again at a more higher level.
And what about, because you train a lot of guys, you know, work other movement patterns. How often do you have to switch it up?
Yeah, for sure. So, for example, if I was training a pitcher and they're doing this action, they're throwing a ball, you know, 100 and some times in a game. So they're doing a lot of internal rotation of throwing a ball. So their body's constantly doing that over and over again. So what you want to do is you don't really need to do that in a gym. What you want to do is you want to counteract that action so that the muscle groups that are actually kind of putting the brakes onto your arm when you're following through are strong enough to lengthen while your arm's going forward. So what I would do is something like external rotation, doing the exact opposite movement of a pitch. So using a weight and pulling it backwards. You are working the upper back and shoulder muscles and making sure they're very strong so that they can support that violent throwing action. Very same thing like in tennis too. You'd want to work in your strength training the opposite action of what your sport mainly does. If you're playing hockey, you're getting a lot of hip extension work and stuff like that. You got to make sure that your hips are being worked in other angles of motion so that they're strong and your core strong is able to sustain that kind of action over and over again. So you want to make sure you cross train to allow yourself to do your repetitive sport. And you just have to be a little, very, very careful with that.
Paul, excellent stuff, man. Always appreciate talking to you. We'll do it again next week.
You got it, sir. Thank you.